We are the ink to the page, Japan land the punch. Onomatopoeia, pal, we got the stuff. We know they got story, been new, they got hot. Complex narratives and black carriers, tell me where they see us. Where I see us, where I see us, they wanna be us. But tell me where they read us, no, they wanna be us. Out the damn cage like a nigga from Georgia. Insane and out the brain and lacking in origin. Act flashbacks and shots to the system. Downloading new issues and sitting for a listen. Where I see us, where I see us, they wanna be us. But tell me where they read us, no, they wanna be us.
They wanna be us, they wanna be us. Where I see us,
Welcome back to another episode of Where I See Me, the podcast where we look at comics and media with lots of questions in mind, mainly, where the hell are the black and brown people? And so I'm Jamie.
And I am Marcellus.
And so we've already kind of got like all of our, I don't know, this is our last episode of the season. I was going to say we got all of our introductory things out of the way, but no. Like, there's a part of me that forgot, that wanted to just, like, email you and be like, can we just shoot the breeze in this episode?
And I mean, honestly, like, we kind of can. I just, like, in case we're just like, ooh.
But I do want to talk about Sha'Carri, though. Honestly, I do want to talk about Sha'Carri in the Olympics. But also, there's just, I don't know, there's a lot of things.
It's easy breezy cover girl. We're going full. We normally have our little tangents, but we're going full tangent.
Full tangent. That's the episode name. Not full throttle like Charlie's Angels, but full tangent.
That sounds good to me.
But it's so like we said, this is our last episode of season two. It has been a season of learning. I would definitely say learning.
Oh my god.
And growing. Do you have any highlights from the season?
Well, I feel like even last season, a lot of my highlights were some of the guests we had on. Mm-hmm. And I think again this time as well, I found myself really happy with all of the friends we got to share space with.
Yeah, I think we had, I'm really glad that we got to have Jess and Jocelyn on the podcast, because we had been talking about having them on for, I think since we started, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was good to have them on, and like, it's always great to have Sebastian on. I think he's been on twice.
Maybe even thrice, because there was
This season?
Oh, no, I was thinking total.
I think in total, I think he's at like four.
Oh my gosh. No, you're right though. Like two times this season.
I think he's been on here two times this season. I think. If not, I'm remembering there's like an episode that doesn't exist. And I'm just remembering that he's on it. Just exists in another dimension somewhere.
I believe it. But no, yeah, I don't know. I really enjoyed how we started everything off this season. Like, it felt good. We the first, I want to say, like, our experiment into having video was I think what made some of those guests and crossovers really fun, being able to like see the people we were talking
to. You can kind of just like read people's facial expressions and all of that good stuff. And so our Patreon subscribers know that, you know, at this point in the podcast, we won't have any more visual episodes for the rest of the season because of technical difficulties on our end. Mm-hmm. But the having the visual version is nice because it also kind of like made me have to, I don't know, like I had not necessarily have to be paying attention. Not that I wasn't paying attention.
No, I know what you mean. What? It's different. It's a different feeling of, it's like being present fully because you are looking at someone's face.
Yeah, it is. And whereas like, you know, when we're just doing the anchor call, it's like a phone call. I'm like looking around my desk. I might pick up my phone at some point and start scrolling through my phone to find something.
Like I'm on the bus right now.
Are you serious?
No, I'm joking. This would be the quietest Houston bus.
I know. I was going to say, that's not possible. How did you do that? What kind of noise-canceling microphone, headphone set you got?
Well, I wish. I wish.
Oh, my gosh. Marcellus. I'm still thinking about that video I sent you and Hawa of the boy with the Dior headband.
Oh, my God.
That's so bad.
The whole idea of... Well, I remember his take, but I don't know if the video showed the question, I guess. The idea of what should you... It was talking about chivalry,
right? Yes, right. And one of the things he had quoted was chivalry, which is also, I think, a lot of people, you know, quote chivalry with just acts of service towards women. But I think chivalry is a little bit more.
Oh, absolutely.
Than that. What does Google say chivalry actually is? The medieval knightly system with its religious moral. And so even like that has nothing to do with women. It's just this kind of leftover ideas of what it means to be a nobleman or a knight, and how do they behave. They don't behave like, I don't know, if you think back to medieval times, they don't think behave like drunkards in the street or like, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Like not into like tomfoolery. I would think serious, kind, like all of these kind of, right. It says the combination of qualities expected of an ideal knight, especially courage, honor, courtesy, justice, and a readiness to help the weak, which that help the weak part could, depending on how your views of women, and particularly the views of them in like the 11th and 12th centuries of women, like viewing them as the weaker sex, like that could be read towards that. But chivalry, it's so much more than just acts of service towards women, but I think that's how it's seen today. And this young man and his Gucci head, Gucci headband. That's Soulja Boy with the Gucci headband.
I don't know what
he was wearing. I was some confused. Like
expensive looking.
He looked like a expensive dunce clown. Like that's like, which I think a lot of like young men do that. They buy like all this expensive labeled looking things and they look ridiculous.
Well, because you can afford nice things, and if you don't know how to dress, it just looks like look like some 8-year-old's like Fortnite character walking around with the brightest colors pop, looking like you're about to cross the street past 9 p.m. so you don't want to get hit.
Child, oh my gosh. But in the video, not to keep our audience in suspense, in the video, we are getting like a different context. And shout out to my friend Lauren for sending me the video. But the young man is talking about how, you know, if he's going to go pick up a girl from her house, he's not getting out of the car to knock on the door. He's like, I'm going to text you 4 letters, H-E-R-E. And you got like a couple of minutes to get to the car. I'm not getting out to open the door. None of that stuff. Like, I'm here. Come outside. And I'm assuming that the conversation is around like this come outside text that happens a lot for everybody, right? Like people text, I'm here. And you come outside. And depending on, you know, the situation, like if it's my friend, you know, because I have friends do that, or when I pick you up, I'm like, I'm outside, I'm not coming up. But also I can't come all the way.
You literally can't. You and I don't think you want to. It's chaotic when you come into my car,
right? And also I can't leave my car because I don't have any kind of permit to park where you live. I could come back and they'd be loading that thing up to go, and we'd both be out of luck, right? Yep.
30 seconds they give you, they're waiting around the corner when you
yes. Yes. But this was his young man's take, right? And it was his as well as another boy on stage. And then there was another young man who was kind of like, I think he had a daughter. And so he's thinking about from the perspective, like, I wouldn't want my daughter to date someone like this, right? Because he was like, where this man is in his life right now. I love that he kept saying that, because he was like, where he is in his life right now. Because that is definitely feels like a phase, or it may be something. It's a phase.
I don't know.
I think it's a phase, because you know what's going to happen? You can't go your whole life and treat people a certain kind of way. Someone's going to either, you know, get back at you, or, you know, you reap what you sow, or he's going to get bored with like his own behavior. Mm. Right. Or like have some kind of like come to Jesus moment where he's, I don't know, but I was just annoyed. He annoyed me. I get annoyed sometimes when straight men open their mouth. I can't with the foolishness. And just, it's like, why, how do you even walk upright? Like, I don't, I don't get, like, and then, you know, of course, at the end of the video clip, it's some little girl, like, who co-signs it. She's like, yeah, I'd rather the text. But their whole thing around the text was, like, they felt like it was too much work to get out of the car.
Which that doesn't make sense to me.
You're going to go on a date. And he was like, I got dressed. I'm like wearing my Sunday's finest, which I'm curious to see what that looks like for him.
It's just probably going to be the same thing, but purple or like green.
With the Christian Dior sweatband. I can't.
It's Christian.
I guess that's what he's going off of. That reminds me of that video of that boy. It was like at a church and he didn't have no shirt on and he was like standing on the pews.
Oh,
and he was like performing.
Yeah. was that actually somebody's funeral that he was performing?
I don't know. There's been a lot of videos floating around the internet. There's just a lot floating around the internet. I don't know if that was someone's funeral. I feel like it had to have been someone's funeral, right? Like,
I mean, like I can't think of another reason to be.
I can't either. And then, of course, that one, there's like a TikTok of that woman's like 50th birthday party where she came into her own birthday party in a glass casket like she was Snow White.
Oh my God.
Did you watch that one? You didn't watch that one, did you?
I don't remember it if I did.
I just sent it to y'all yesterday. That's okay. You'll watch it later. We'll the week this airs, please expect links to all of these videos in the stories on Instagram. because it's a lot of tomfoolery in the world right now. And I don't know. I'm coming out of this class I did that's like on Afro-Latin American history. And I feel like if I was wearing a wig, it would be crooked. From the things that I learned, it was talking particularly about like Mexico and Texas, and it was called Mexico and Texas Entanglements. And so they were talking about like there was two presenters, and the one who's organizing it, her name is Dash. She went through the first hour. She went through breaking down the castas and like what does it mean to be Black in Mexico, like how was that being worked out in colonial Mexico. And then the second presenter, whose name is Javier Wallace, was talking about like Black people in Texas under Mexican rule and the false kind of narratives around like Anglos invaded Texas and stole it from Mexico when in fact they were invited by the president, which is something that, you know, I remember learning in Texas history in seventh grade. I know you're not from the state, so Marcellus, so I'm like, I know you don't know I'm sure you don't know jack squat about like how Texas became what it is. But it was just a really interesting, it was just a really fascinating class. And I'm just really glad I got the time to take it. So thank you Marcellus for being flexible about the recording time for this episode.
Because
I was like, oh, I got it. Because I follow Dash on Twitter. Because I follow a lot of Afro-Latinos, a lot of like Nigerian, like I follow a lot of diasporic Black people. Because I feel that to be pro-Black, you have to be concerned with what's happening to Black people in every part of the world. or at least try to keep up, right? Like to be mindful of that. And also be aware that your particular experience of Blackness does not equate everyone else's.
Exactly.
Which is something that I'm coming to terms with a lot, I think, over the past couple of years. Like I'm starting to realize how American I can be in my thinking, which I think a lot of Black people, like a lot of African Americans, don't like to think that they are, but we are. But regardless, it's a lot. I had a lot on my noggin. I just kind of like word vomited all these things onto you for the past like 10 minutes.
That's the best part about learning though, because you mean that I feel like that decompression afterwards it's like when you heard everything, but now you're learning it.
Yeah. And like trying to also like piece it together with things that you already know, and like some things you might have to throw out.
Yeah.
Because the pieces don't fit anymore. You realize it wasn't supposed to be there. It should be somewhere else. Right. So it's a lot of that. But the main thing that we were going to be talking about today, is Sha'Carri Richardson. It's Richardson, right?
Yes, it is. Sha'Carri Richardson.
Which, when I saw that photo of her, that first photo of her running
with the orange hair,
yes, it looked like a trail of like flames behind her.
Oh yeah,
so good, so good.
She's amazing. She's an amazing athlete, but also she's holding herself down. Like I know she has a support system of people around her, but she's got a grace to her that's pretty badass.
That Dallas, that's what that is.
That's the Dallas in her.
That's that D-Town. Because at the end there was someone on Twitter, because you know at the end when she wins the race, she's like, "Don't play with me."
Yeah.
And so someone was like, she really was like, "Y'all hoes, don't be playing with me." But you know, she can't say that on TV, right?
Oh yeah. She's been also very smart, I think, with everything, both when she won, but then everything that inevitably came to follow. She's been very good about picking her words.
Yeah.
Very, very, not even carefully. She just knows exactly what she wants to say, and she says it well.
So, Marcellus, like, you've done some research into Sha'Carri, into the Olympics, and, like, what did you find?
Well, I guess like the first thing for you might already know, but those of you who don't watch, yeah, I feel like even this is one of those times where even if you don't have any investment in like track and field, the Olympics is something that pops up on your radar if you have sort of like a TV or a phone. and so everyone had heard about Sha'Carri getting this like awesome time on the 100-meter dash, and she, there's the kind of the talk about, especially when it comes to track, your qualifiers, that's one thing. Now you got to go up and actually do the damn thing. But it was big, especially just because in the photo that you're kind of talking about, she's pointing. She's like pointing at the clock, and it's one thing to like, be fast, but it just made, I remember when I saw that picture, it made me think of Usain Bolt back in 2012 when he's not during the,
shout out to Usain for one time. Come on the podcast, we'll talk about it.
I mean, we can't afford Usain Bolt on this podcast. This is,
he does charity work.
Oh my God.
Are we not his cousins?
I mean, I don't think I'm his cousin. You might be.
Do you know anybody in Jamaica?
No, I don't.
We'll talk. Wait, hold on.
No, I don't. Wait. I know one person. He's not in Jamaica, but I don't even really know him. My one of my friends, her husband's Jamaican, but
that's close enough.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
We'll talk to him. Not. He'll talk to Mr. Bolt.
Oh, shout out to April and her family. She listens to the podcast occasionally. But no, we don't know any. We have no connections to Jamaica, Marcellus, or to Usain Bolt. But continue.
I was just thinking about when he won, I want to say the 100 meter during the 2012 Olympics. There's this moment very like the last half of the 100 meters. He's not even looking forward. He's not looking to the people around him. He's watching the clock to see if he can beat the world record. He doesn't even worry about is he in first. And her pointing at the clock is almost like the same thing of, I don't think she's even concerned about the other people.
Because you know what? When you look at the thing, right? She, and that's the thing with a lot of the fastest runners. They don't start off like with full speed. Mm. It's like, and I think that's probably like maybe the thing with all sprinters. I don't really know much about sprinting. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about running. I don't do that. But I'm like, I can't, that's too much. It's too much jumping around. But I would imagine with sprinting, like sprinters are supposed to like be able to like go from like 0 to 60, like very quickly. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that of course you would save your, like most of your energy for like the last little part of it so that you can like, I guess like in Fast and the Furious when they turn on the nitrous booster, which I saw a lot of those on the freeway today. It was some child with a
you saw Vin Diesel?
No, not Vin Diesel. I don't think I would. It definitely wouldn't have been. Well, no, it definitely wouldn't have been him because it was a Nissan 350Z. But someone had like little, like the little flames coming out the back of it. And it's like, oh really? God.
Like that's actual flames?
Yes, actual flames. And we kept hearing some pop on the freeway and we looked and it's this little Nissan doing it. I'm like, calm down. Y'all, there's a lot of like amateur race car drivers on the Beltway today. Like y'all need to.
Some Hot Wheels.
Yeah, very much. I was like, I know Fast 20 came out. Like, calm down, y'all. Like, y'all ain't even getting paid for this. Y'all just showing out for free.
For the price of not a lick.
Not a lick. Oh, but you were saying about like the clocks, right? Them both like watching the clock, pointing the clock. They're not concerned.
Her time was like. So let me look up. I'm gonna look up really quick the women's world record.
I think it was like 10. Her time was like 10.63.
It was 10.86. I want to say
10.86. Okay. Or it might be FloJo that has like 10.63.
I'm looking it up because I think you're right. I think Flo. Okay, so the last time the world record was set was in, I think it was like, it was in May, and it was a Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce out of Kingston. Okay. She ran 10.49 because she beat that 10.63 from Griffith Joyner, and that's
FloJo.
Let's when do you think FloJo's record time was, like what year it happened?
It has to be like the '80s, right?
That was 88,
honey.
No one's beat it since 88, and someone just beat it like this year.
Stop.
So it's a big deal. It's a big deal that she was, I mean, you know, granted, the like milliseconds are humongous in a sprint. But I'm just doing all this to hype her up because she did that in like a qualifier where she didn't have to be going that hard.
She was just like, I'm gonna show y'all today, like, don't play with me.
Exactly.
Oh, and my gosh. This
whole thing about the reason she is disqualified from her individual sprinting is because she didn't pass the drug test because she had smoked, I think, maybe a day or two or that day.
After
hearing about the passing of her birth mother.
Yes. And I heard that she found out from a reporter.
Yeah, that's very...
which makes me feel very kind of like, hmm. It makes me think like, okay, so if you're someone who is a reporter on sports, track and field, you probably know who Sha'Carri Richardson is, right? I would think, right?
If you're watching up and coming out.
Exactly. And then also the fact that they knew that her mother was dead and she didn't, they was looking into her. So what makes me think is that they tried to knock her off her game.
And like, even if not that, they just thought, ooh, I'll get a first reaction, which is,
yes,
that's gross.
Cause that's what I was thinking. Cause I'm like, who does that? Like, you about to like run the biggest qualifier of your life to be in the Olympics. And you tell this girl, oh, your mom is dead. Like, come on now. I mean, I know she was gonna probably find out I can't imagine how a reporter would have delivered that to her, right? And I would imagine also that's happening in front of other people too, that is very private like that. So I don't blame her for the way that she coped. Marijuana, I think they were in Washington or Oregon, one of the Pacific Northwest places.
Yeah, it was somewhere where it was legal.
Right. So she didn't break the law in that state, but apparently marijuana is a banned substance for the Olympics, even though it doesn't enhance your performance. So I don't remember this dingbat's name, but he was talking about it actually does enhance your performance. And his case was that, you know, if you're nervous, like, you know, if you're running this biggest thing of your life and you're nervous and the weed like takes the edge off of your nervousness, that is an enhancement. That's what he said. That's what and he was on national TV saying that. I can't think of that man's name. But
that's,
you know,
like, that's like saying if I'm sleepy and I drink coffee, it'll make me run faster.
Exactly.
Like, my muscles aren't going to be more warmed up.
But this was his reasoning. And it's just like, baby, you need a science-based education. Like, I see why people be fighting for STEM so much. I get it.
Yeah.
But it's still not helping these people. it's still not helping them.
The No Child Left Behind program. Some of these children were left.
Was left clearly. Behind. They were left behind. And they on TV now, being celebrities. And they was left behind. We're seeing this. This is why the television culture is what it is. Because them children was left behind and they on TV acting like showing how much they was left behind. Basically.
Oh my goodness.
But I mean,
she might get another chance though.
In the next when
her ban falls. It's done right before
but they didn't
the necessary
put her on the
qualifier
team.
For a relay.
But they didn't put her on the team.
They didn't?
No, they didn't put her on the team. That was the latest development, I think, this past week.
Yeah.
They didn't put her on the team. And it's just kind of like, you know, they didn't want, I guess they didn't want the negative attention it's brought or whatever, like to deflect from everybody else. Which, honestly, okay, so the Olympics are supposed to be moving forward, right? But Japan apparently is going back into lockdown because the cases of COVID are spiking over there,
yep.
From my understanding. So there's not going to be in crowd or an audience at all. And it's like, who wants to run the Olympics with no audience? It's just like going to practice. Like, what is that?
I saw a tweet about that, and someone said, You telling me the fastest person can't run because they're in trouble for smoking weed and there's not going to be a crowd. Is this PE class?
Yeah, I saw that tweet.
You're right, though. It's just it's like practice. There's no, like, it. The idea that I think, and this, I don't know if this is, I don't think it's a hot take necessarily, because, like, I get the Olympics are supposed to be like, you know, the Olympics happen every year. It survives. We survive. We are strong. Like, we could wait. We could, I don't know. We couldn't hope. We can't just change the, you know, I think, I feel like, what's the, I heard someone say it once. I don't know where it was, but the idea that, you know, people say, you know, how, during this is my first pandemic, so I think I'm doing pretty good, all things considered. I know we had the Olympics during several other things throughout history.
Uh-huh.
But
well, yeah,
I don't know if we're handling this well.
I don't think so either. Like, it should have been canceled. Like, let's just take an L for this year, for the, because this is supposed to be the 2020 Olympics, right? Like, they're doing them this year. And it's like, let's just take that L, right? Like, I know that y'all are trying to bring, honestly, I get why they wanted to do them, because the Olympics are a time where it's supposed to bring, like, unity, global unity. And saying that phrase, I immediately come up to the thought, I'm like, which countries are left out of the Olympics? Because I don't think all of them are included into it. And so I don't know.
Oh, no, never, yeah.
Now I'm like, Google.
It depends on the event, because there are certain countries that, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people remember Cool Runnings.
Oh Lord! Don't you bring up Cool Runnings and those fake Jamaican accents on the
but the concept, right? The idea of there are countries where practicing a certain sport is far more difficult,
right?
Or maybe there is a tradition of a certain sport being like, this is how you could excel, or this is the sport you might get notoriety for. Like, I remember there's the, and I'm forgetting the exact place, I'll sound like a numbskull by being like, someplace in Africa, which narrowed down, but I'm forgetting the country specifically. There is this village where box is the premier thing, and like two or three heavyweight champions have come specifically from this village. And all they do, all the kids do for the most part, is just practice and spar and spar. And it's like they will set up mini rings every mm-hmm. And that's like the way to pull yourself out of, like, if you want to go international and see the world, that's how you get out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There's just no, the Olympics are supposed to be this kind of like stage of I can't even say like equality, because
mm-hmm.
I mean, it, you know, it just makes me think back to the 1936 Olympics.
You got not ESPE or ESPN. I googled Jesse Owens Olympics, and I'm looking at the pictures from 1936 when he ran that. It was like 4x100 meter relay.
Yeah,
and it's they took place in Germany, right? Mm-hmm. At the time, and
it was like, it was just before the Nazis were like starting to rise.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be like, it was supposed to be their moment to be like the Aryan race, like, we perfect, we gonna win everything. Psych. I'm looking at the picture, and you have Jesse Owens standing in first place with the laurel wreath on his head, and he's doing like a soldier salute that we do in the U.S. And you got losing ass Germany, Hitler behind him, and I'm like, really? I don't think I've ever seen this picture. Well, I never googled it.
Do you know how many Black Olympians were there at that time?
Two.
There were 18.
Oh, I was close.
But the thing is, though, Jesse Owens, like, I mean, he definitely the face of that group to a mm-hmm. degree. But he was kind of like, he had been to the previous Olympics.
And really?
Yeah, he'd been in the, he, I want to say it was him and then just this big rush of other people. You know, he kind of set some of the way, but there was a bunch of other people who were trying to get, and they were mm-hmm. like, okay, this, you got to do it. And he was encouraging people to like leave the politics out of it to mm-hmm. a degree, because there was all that stuff going on where, like, you know, boycott the Olympics was going right. on, all which the a lot of
still happening today.
But it was double-edged then, because there weren't a lot of Black Olympians the year before. And mm-hmm. so all these people got selected, and they met their qualifiers, they did all this stuff, they didn't endure all these things, and then they were told boycott the Olympics because of discrimination mm-hmm. against Jewish Americans. Mm-hmm. And they were like, nigga, you discriminate against me here.
Right. That's and such so a... Like, you... Keep going.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like there was 18 people, so Jesse Owens definitely gets he carries a lot of weight, especially because he won all gold and 4 different medals that year.
God bless, yes.
Like, he did the 100, the 200, the long jump, and the 4x100 relay. And he got gold in all of them.
We love to see it. Love it. He cleaned up. Like, he really did.
Mop the floor
with Hitler's little Aryan race project.
Also, did you know that also within that year, one of the other Olympians was Mac Robinson?
Who is Mac Robinson?
The brother of famous baseball player.
Jackie Robinson, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so they were really in their bag with who they were picking for the Olympics. Like, they were like, we're picking the best and the brightest within the Black community to
it's
be
hard
here.
Though,
which is always the case, right?
Exactly. There's such a, like, I know we've talked about like Black excellence before, and that's kind mm-hmm. of like a double-edged idea.
Yeah,
but there are some truly, like, every time you look, especially within like the Olympics, when you look at some of the top athletes, and like not even just on a physical level, just like their mentalities, you see a lot of Black people from around the world.
Yeah.
The 2012 where Usain Bolt killing the whole game, every single Love person it. Who ran on that 100 was Black.
Yes. And
even
that
the
is...
Netherlands.
That and see, that's the thing too. So I'm really glad you brought that up about like the Netherlands. Like, okay, so I don't know. We know a lot of African countries got their independence like in the 60s, right? Mm-hmm. So this 1936 Olympics, we was not going to see any African people there, other than like people of African descent from the U.S. being mm-hmm. present. I don't know about Canada. Whatever they do over there, I don't know. But the only people, Black people, you were going to see most likely were from the United States. But now, and this is the thing I hear people talk about with like soccer, football. But with soccer, I hear this a lot too, like the Italian teams or like the, you know, all of the European teams are exporting their players from their former colonies, right? Like, so they're taking the talent from, you know, Jamaica, like if for the UK, like they're like if you want to, I don't know about who, I don't know who all is on Manchester United. I just know that's the one team I know from the UK, because everybody loves them or whatever. But, you know, all of these players, some of them, okay, grew up in the UK. But some of them are maybe immigrants from other places that were former colonies or maybe even still territories of these places. Like the Netherlands, I think still has some territories, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I might be lying about that, but mm-hmm. y'all get what I'm saying, right? Like, you get what I'm saying. Like,
no, absolutely.
places where, you know, you could, oh, like I remember, I can't remember his name, but it was a young man who was running, he ran for Grenada. And there was, he went to school in the US, but made the decision to go home and run for Grenada. And he, I think he won, but I can't, dang, I can't remember that boy's name, but everybody was so proud of him because, you know, he decided to like, I'm going to go represent my home country, because there a lot of times those, some of those places have very like small athlete populations. I was Googling to see which countries aren't in the Olympics at all. And so this is, there's an article from like 2012 that's on PollGeoNow.com. Don't know how reliable that source is, but it was one of the first ones that popped up. And so it says there's only one unrecognized independent country not representing the Olympics, and that's the Vatican City. which
the Pope gonna run?
What, I mean, you know, they've never applied for that.
I remember the, I found the name of that Grenadian sprinter.
What was his name?
Karani James.
Yes! How could I forget that?
Oh, from 1992. Oh, no. He's born in 1992. He ran.
I was like, that's sir.
No, he ran.
2012 Olympics, maybe?
I think, yeah. He ran at London in 2012.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Which, I will say this. The London opening ceremonies, that was cute. It was cute. The Spice Girls came out. Naomi Campbell came out and did her runway walk. I do like the opening shows, like the opening ceremonies, to see what all they're gonna do, what the countries are gonna do, right? Because yeah. It's like, I don't know what the U.S. hasn't had an Olympics in a while. I think, I don't know when the last one was. I know there was one in Atlanta when I was very little. And I think that's the one that Whitney Houston sang at. And ooh. Honey, yes. There are people who still Google that particular re-edition of the national anthem. Because, yeah. You know, I've always heard music professionals say that the national anthem is a difficult song to sing because it has really low lows and really high highs. Mm-hmm. And it's an all over the place kind of song. Like you got to have a lot of range to really drive it home. Cause you know, I'm sure you've heard listeners, Marcellus, I'm sure you've heard when people start getting to that Rockets red glare, they be starting to crack. Their voices be leaving cause it's too high. But I do remember that particular performance from Whitney Houston. And I think someone made like a, I think it was like on the news, like as a most memorable moment. Cause it was like, she just kind of like walked out there and her like little warm up, like Go America warm ups, and just kind of like just belted it out and was like, and seen, right?
I might have to look it up because I don't really, the national anthem,
Wait, what's
that? I agree with what Vince Staples said. He was like, it don't even slap.
I mean, it doesn't. That's the thing. Oh, wait, that wasn't... Ooh, I'm getting it... Okay, mixed up. It was not the Olympics. It was Super Bowl... What is this? XX5. 25. Sorry. Honestly, kind of same difference, but not. But just, you know, I'm just thinking about performances on very large scales, and Whitney Houston's Star Spangled Banner was amazing. But to go back to this, like countries that are not in the Olympics at all, let me skip down. Self-proclaimed countries not recognized by the UN aren't usually admitted either, even if they're effectively independent. In fact, there are quite a few dependent territories and unrecognized countries that have created national Olympic committees or said they plan to, but haven't been recognized by the IOC. And this is from 2012, so things may have changed. So in Africa, they have Somaliland. In the Americas, they have Anguilla, Montserrat, Turks and Caicos. So all three of those are in the Caribbean. In Asia, Kurdistan, which it has listed as an autonomous region of Iraq. and Macau, autonomous region of China. For Europe, it has Abkhazia, self-proclaimed country, Abkhazia, Catalonia, region of Spain. Ooh, Catalonia. Are they still fighting?
Last time I remember, they were.
That's what I want to know, because they've been saying we not like y'all for 2,000 years. Not 2,000, maybe like 1,000. No, 2,000. It's been 2,000 or so. They don't want to be a part of Spain no more. So then they have Faroe Islands, which is associate state of Denmark. Gibraltar.
You said Faroe?
Not Faroe. Faroe. It might be Faroe, but you know, I'm country. I say Faroe.
No, that's probably right. I just heard the Faroe.
Did you say right? Did you drag out the I and you're right?
I think so.
I think you did. Are you getting an accent?
I mean, I keep talking to you too much. I think that's
what. Yo, today my mom, she was asking me about a place that's, and I said, is right by the house. And she was like, where is there a firehouse? She thought I said firehouse, like firehouse subs. And but I said, it's right by our house. And she was like, there's no firehouse subs over there. What are you talking about? And I'm like, no, it's right by our house. She was like, we just cracked up in the car for like 10 minutes. Because she was like, I didn't know what you were saying.
Texting.
But we do that to each other all the time, me and my mom. We're like, we'll repeat anytime we hear someone say, we say either one of us says something country or with a twang, we'll repeat it back to each other, like it full judgment. We'll just repeat it back. Cause like we were passing by a Walgreens and she was like, it's a bunch of people lottering outside of the Walgreens. And I'm like, lottering? They lottering? And she just started laughing because she knew it was wrong. I'm like, loitering. Loitering. I was like, lottering, they playing the lotto outside of the Walgreens. But anyway, Faroe Islands, Gibraltar, Northern Cyprus, South Ossetia, in the South Pacific or Oceania, New Caledonia, Niue, which is a state of New Zealand, Norfolk Island, Northern Mariana Islands, Tahiti, which is still a territory of France, Tokelau, which is a territory of New Zealand, Wallis and Futuna, which is one place, is a territory of France. I mean, whether or not these places are still not participating, but I was like, I know not everybody and their mama be at the Olympics. Like, I know, like, some people don't be wanting to go.
Yeah, it's like one of those, I'll ask my mama, and then they don't ask, and then they don't want to go.
Right.
Because what is sort of like low-key trickling back to the idea of that why go at all, like the 1936 Olympics. It's like, what do you have to prove to the world?
Also, it's also a very kind of Western, I don't know, like it just feels like we could have did something else. Like if we wanted global unity, like why did we have like a cook-off or bring the best chefs of every nation and everyone goes and tastes the food. But that could be tricky because, you know, different palates. I guess, I don't know,
I don't think England or some of the other European nations would have been, you know, getting gold medals in that.
That's
depending on who's representing all of England when they got so many different places. Mm-hmm. There's probably like there's some good food there, but
it's not from there.
You said it.
Bangers and mash. What is that? Sausage and potatoes? Is that what bangers and mash is? Breakfast sausage? Them little Owens breakfast sausage? Your mom is gonna be so mad that I said.
Well, my mom, my mom, My mom wasn't eating that type of stuff.
Good for her. I love it. I mean,
she grew up with like a fusion of Irish and Nigerian food.
So much better for you. Already better.
But there's like culture. There's culture to different countries, but I guess having the physical show a display of strength is the unifying thing. But when you have situations like, it's not even just Sha'Carri Richardson who kind of got like put through the ringer. You got people like I'm trying to remember. Semenya Caster. Been going on for 5 years. 5 years her lawsuit.
So that's another thing too. This is where we're starting to get into like the eugenics aspects of the Olympics, right? Where the Olympics committee is policing what the ideal female body is, and that's based off of European standards of estrogen, testosterone, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. Because Caster, of course, they were trying to, you know, misgender her. And because she has like a high, also the fact that we didn't need to know that she had high levels of testosterone, like the fact that's like a, I feel like that's like a private, like between you and your doctor. Kind of thing.
It's not even just that too, because like they keep doing that with other female identifying Olympians, but the idea also the fact that, I mean, because Caster, I believe from what I've read,
mm-hmm.
different coverage of that case moving forward. Let me triple check it.
I would be careful because the way they were trying to make it seem like, because it's the same kind of like treatment a little bit of like Serena Williams, like this kind of like masculinizing like Black women. Mm-hmm. And so, which we have to get like, it gets kind of like in muddy water when we start talking about like Black female athletes who don't perform a certain level of femininity while they're performing their sport. And like, this intersection with like gender, right? And like how people are wanting to put them into this category of, I guess trans, like trans identity, even though we all know that Serena Williams is not a trans woman. She's a Black woman, but she's biologically a woman. And it gets really murky because you have like this, but also I guess it just goes to show how vulnerable like Black trans women are, that, you know, they're kind of like at the bottom of our
they're vulnerable.
Yes,
they're highly vulnerable,
and that, you know, they're trying to demote like other Black women into that space who have not said anything about like identifying as anything other than their gender that they were assigned at birth.
So the thing I was triple checking just to make sure, because I mean, out of, you know, full respect and everything, the Caster is intersex.
Ah, that was the
and okay.
I remember that.
Semenya Caster never publicly said that.
Yeah.
And so this whole thing dragged that out into the public, and that's, you know, on one count, that's already something to be able to sue about.
Right, because it's like, that is like, what is happening between people's legs is nobody's business other than between you and your partner, right? Like, that's like, I didn't need to know. I mean, it's good to know that there are intersex people running in the Olympics, and that's good to like, for visibility wise. But if that's not something that they came out and said themselves, like, then this is like, it's a huge,
and to be excluded even for that.
Exactly. Yes. It's a huge, huge, what is the correct word? It's just this, you know, taking,
what is it? When like they take something that is private and none, basically them not minding their own business, right? Them trying to make some reason why she can't be, why she's so good. Oh, it's because she's intersex, right? So she shouldn't be running against women in the first place. But then they're like, oh, but she can't run against men because of this. And it's just kind of like,
there are men who have a higher testosterone count than normal, or even people. I think one of the perfect examples you can go to when people try to actually debate about this sort of thing, which it's not a debate, it's fucking, these are human beings. This is not a up for debate sort of thing, but you can easily destroy a lot of that by talking about like, Michael Phelps is like an X-Man. The way he is built is genuinely ridiculous.
Yeah.
He has like a higher lung capacity than the average man does. His wingspan is like gargantuan compared to most.
Like a bird. I know.
Right now.
His wingspan.
He just has all these things going on with his body, which not really any of our business.
Right.
But if it's the same qualities.
And this,
why
this
is he allowed to compete? I'm sorry, I was getting overexcited
because no, girl, because you're excited.
Who got in trouble for smoking marijuana and didn't? I don't think he had any of his medals.
None of his medals got removed. He got suspended for like 3 months, I think. Also, you know who should have had their medals? Or I don't know if he got any. You remember Ryan Lochte and that foolishness in Rio?
Yes, I do.
Him and some other little boys, they was doing something, talking about they got robbed, and then they was making up all kinds of stories. It's like Ryan Lochte better not ever bring his butt to Rio because it was on site. He had the Brazilian people upset because he was like, he created an international incident by lying, like, about where they were, because they broke curfew, if I remember all the details correctly. And they was going to have a TV show, but then people realized, like, ain't much there but swimming. Like, that's all. That's just, ain't much there. Ain't much going on there. There's that classic clip of him on that news show, and he gets off, and the anchors are like dying laughing in their seats because they're just like they're like, it's not gonna be enough material for this. They literally said it's not gonna be enough material for the show. They're like, he's so handsome, but he's dumber than a box of rocks. Like, they're saying this after he got off the air, and I'm just kind of like, you know, he got very little. I mean, I don't know what he's doing now in his life, but even when he created that international incident, I remember people were critiquing. They're like, oh, they're just kids. That man is like, he was like 24, 25. Yes, they're just kids.
That's a big ass child.
That, come on now. Come on now.
I found Michael Phelps' wingspan.
What's his wingspan?
It is 6.5 feet, Jamie.
That's a whole person.
That's what I'm saying. You telling me that's allowed?
That's the thing, right? So this is where we get into this kind of eugenics aspect of the Olympics, right? That is built on the ideal bodies. And for each sport, like, for swimming, you would need really long arms to help you propel faster through the water. I don't know how to swim, so I don't know what that mechanism does.
I mean, being you're right though, it's the water, the way you're built to go, like, to go speedily through the,
yes, but you know, it's all kind of, which is also why like Germany was very, they were so certain they were going to win more than what they did in 36, because they were actively practicing eugenics studies, and they full-heartedly believed that because they had called themselves Aryan, that they were superior, right? And that just was not true, right? It makes me, so I had brought up earlier, like, what is the point? I have started typing into my Google, what is the point of the Olympics? But before I could finish the Olympics, the other things that Google filled in was like, what is the point of the STAR test, which is the state mandated test in Texas?
The next one is, what is the point of the COVID vaccine? Which, that's scary. What is the point of The Circle? Which, I think they mean that Netflix show. The other is, what is the point of the royal family? Valid question. What is the point of The Hunger Games? Okay, read the book, watch the movie. What is the point of The Purge? That's another valid question. I'm sick of the movies. Why we got like 8 of them hoes? Like, it don't make no sense. Y'all just mean, y'all, the fact that media keeps trying to brainwash us into, well, actually, you know what? I can't finish that statement.
Oh.
Because we do live in an inherently violent society. Mm. I was going to say that they were brainwashing us into this, but.
I think they're trying to test the waters to see how entertained we would be by actually having it happen.
I do not want that. I feel like that would be, and you know what would happen? It'd be like some rich white folks. I've never seen any of them, but it'd be like some rich white folks who would just descend on working class areas.
You know, speaking of that, not to go too far off
topic,
I finally watched Vampires vs. the Bronx.
You did? I still haven't seen it.
It was pretty good. I would check it out. It was a fun time.
Okay. But not to go too deep into The Purge, because we don't care about that franchise.
Yeah, dad hates those movies.
I feel like all crime is legal for one night. And it's like, what are y'all doing?
Why don't y'all just go into Target and start taking candy? Or like, go.
Right, like, why y'all gotta kill people?
Like, go to the bank and like, there's no overdraft fees, right? I'm assuming.
Or why wouldn't someone just like hack systems and put a bunch of money in everybody's account,
right?
Like, if we gonna have all crime as legal, like do some Robin Hood type criming, like not killing folks. Like, what is wrong with y'all? Like, anyway, the next Google search is, what is the point of the Great Gatsby? I mean. Valid. What is the point of the appendix? Which, okay, that's also another. I mean, you can ask us in bursts and stuff. And then the last one is, what is the point of the CONCACAF Nations League? I have no idea what that is. CONCACAF. CONCACAF. It's a lot of C's in there. A lot of C's and a lot of A's. I don't like that. But to go back to, what is the point of the Olympics? It says the Olympic Games are an international sports festival held every 4 years. The ultimate goals are to cultivate human beings through sport and contribute to world peace. Bitch, how?
World peace?
But this cultivate human beings, what do you mean? Like, we're all supposed to be trying to model ourselves after like athletes? Is that what they're trying to say?
I guess maybe, you know, the idea of the ideal, like this is the top, the best of the best of the best, sir. I don't know.
This is on the 2020 games.metro.tokyo.lg.jp site.
It's hard to imagine that they want the Olympics still to even be anything like that, because they routinely discriminate against the people that they say they want representing.
That's the thing, right? Like, it started with the ancient Greeks, who love competition of all sorts. I'm reading this. Each year, the various city-states of Greece sent athletes to festivals of games, which were held to honor the gods. So this is also like some pagan stuff too, right? Like, we are pulling in this Greek pagan mythology stuff, right? The most important prestigious were the games held at Olympia to honor Zeus, the king of the gods. The modern Olympic Games began in 1896. You know, the fact that does Greece get any kind of compensation for coming up with this idea? I mean,
they got the Percy Jackson movie.
Hush. Which, by the way, I did like those movies.
I did too. I had fun with those.
I liked them. And I think we had talked about once before how
maybe on this podcast, like how they aged up the characters so they didn't have the room to grow. Like it really had the potential of like being the next like epic like yeah series like that. But because they started off with like 18-year-olds, it's like where are they gonna go from here? Like you know. So, but anyway, we digress. The point of the Olympic Games, like, this to cultivate human beings. What the fuck does that even... What is that?
Explain That's some it. Plantation language.
Honey. Okay, look. To cultivate human beings through sport and contribute to world peace. Doesn't it sound like let my Negroes race against your Negroes and we see who gonna take this plot of land?
That's what it's become. If that wasn't the initial intention, that's what it has become.
I mean, it's just...
I mean, is it an honor to be able to run on a world stage?
Oh, absolutely.
With your neighborhood on your back?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But the bureaucracy of the Olympics is dirty.
Yes. That's, I think, you know, that's where... And also, yeah, that's where I start to run into issues, all these rules, because the rules are being governed by, this is, let me see, Olympic Committee, because I'm pretty sure, you know, like, it's being governed by, like, Western standards, right? Yeah. The games are Western standard, but we make everyone else participate in it. Right? Because the West, the global West, had, you know, colonized everywhere, basically. We talked about this. They didn't know how to stay at home. And so now we all got to play in these stupid little games. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Mind you, like, I'm dissing the Olympics, but when it comes on,
yeah, that's true.
And am I gonna be watching Simone Biles flip and tumble and do and break all kinds? I sure will. I sure will.
She is the pinnacle
in her own lane. In her own lane,
she might have the most gold medals
of all time. I would imagine she would. A national Olympic Committee is a national. Okay, but who makes up the National Olympic Committee? It says the IOC was created by, I don't need to know, it was created by Pierre de Coubertin, whatever his last name is, French, in 1894. As of 2019, its membership consists of 95 active members, 44 honorary members, an honorary president, Jacques Rogge, and two honor members, Henry Kissinger, and why Henry Kissinger name sound familiar, and Yusuf I'm guessing Yusufa is Greek. NDA. I can't pronounce his last name. I'm sorry. Yusufa.
Henry Kissinger was a politician.
Okay. Oh, what is this new scandal they got going on? They don't even know what country the Olympics in. It says the Olympic chief mixes up Japanese and Chinese at Tokyo Games press.
What?
Oh my gosh. So this is what I'm talking about, right? Like you have I'm assuming that the Olympic Committee is made up of mostly white countries.
Yeah.
Who are setting white standards and health standards onto the rest of the world. Because like we were talking about Castor, but there were also some other women from East Africa, I believe. I don't remember which country, but they were denied the ability to run because their testosterone levels are too high. Mm. And this is the thing. It's like, I was like, has the Olympic Committee never heard of PCOS or any other kind of reproductive, like, and I'm not saying that these women have PCOS, but there are lots of like reproductive health disorders and things that women have that could cause that to happen. And which I guess they would see that as like, it's not an idealized body because an idealized body is quote unquote healthy, but it's like, everybody has something. Like we're not like, is there a perfect body? Like
is there a perfect body? And apparent, I mean, it comes up every year, like when they have the Olympic Village, right? Like they're always talking about like how all the athletes are hooking up with each other because it's like everyone's like the ideal of like health in their country. And like, so you have all these quote unquote hot body people, because I won't say face because some of them don't be given face. and I don't mean that on some like, I'm gonna stick beside this statement.
You said you can't work out your face.
Because some of them, right? It just depends on who you're attracted to. Y'all know attraction is subjective. But like, there are people always talking about how like they're probably all hooking up with each other. We don't really know what happens. But I think there was an article once that said that like a lot of the athletes do hook up with each other. But I just like this idea, like idealized bodied, hot bodied people. I don't know. Like I feel like the IOC should like maybe like have a doctor on there or something, like a couple of doctors, if they're wanting to make base things on, which I'm getting into a hole that I think is a stupid one, which is it shouldn't really be based on, I don't know. Dig me out of the hole, man. I can't get out.
But you're making a point though of there. Was I? No, I'm saying, but like, at least the area that you're getting into, where we already talked about eugenics, we're talking about this weird arbitrary thing of hormones as defining factors, ignoring, like, it makes me think of, because I've been watching, I don't know, I like to watch a lot of like medical stuff every now and then. I feel that's because of my mom. I remember her always watching medical shows. But I like to watch if some YouTubers that are, you know, they're doctor physicians. And I remember this conversation was had about the idea of when you are a physician, you don't treat the issue or the concern, you treat the person. And I think that applies to a lot of things when it comes to health and standards and all these other things you're supposed to set in motion, like within society. If the Olympics are supposed to be about like the best athletes, an athlete isn't just their body, like that's the person.
Yeah, and you need to be able to put them on a box of Wheaties and sell this idea.
When I see someone on the box of Wheaties, I don't go, well, what's his testosterone level? Or like, what's her estrogen level? Like, I'm fucking eating the cereal and going, wow, they did a good job. They're on the box of Wheaties. there's these really archaic ideas of what makes a person, I think, like, what if someone has 0.5 whatever over what you think is the acceptable amount of testosterone and you balance it, did you just handicap them? Or if it is an edge, if we're going to go there and say that whatever amount is, oh, now they have an edge, what are you doing actually? Someone to not be their full natural self? Is this something meant to benefit, like, the who really benefits from this? Like, actually, if it's not coming from a sort of a weird, archaic, racist kind of source. It makes me think of the people who were afraid of Jesse Owens running because he was like, hey, he's black, so he'll be faster.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a very, even saying that out loud makes me, like, want to laugh in their dead faces. But I just, I don't know. There's so much wrong with the way the Olympics is run. So,
on that note, I'm like pulling up articles as you're speaking. And so this most recent one from today, actually, which from the Washington Post is an opinion piece. It's called A Suggestion for Olympic Athletes: Protest the Grandees of the IOC. They're calling on the protest because so they gave the example, of course, of Jesse Owens. And it reads, when the International Olympic Committee or IOC cheerfully collaborated with Hitler in 1936, it fell to Jesse Owens to clean up the story. Sprinting and leaping, the brilliant black man won 4 gold medals and redeemed the atrocity. Then it's talking about 1968 when it was in Mexico, which we know, I think it within black history, we know that particular one for Tommy Smith and John Carlos, who gave the Black Power salute during the national anthem and had their medals stripped away because it was seen as a form of protest. Right.
You know what's crazy about, not to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
The white man that's with them on the podium. I think he's a runner from Australia, from what I remember.
He got a kangaroo on his shirt. Yeah.
They told him, he knew what was gonna happen. Like, he knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wearing a button that's like, it says Black Power, I think, or he's wearing something.
Really?
Yeah, he kept his medal.
Well, he's white, baby. Like,
you know. No, I know, but I'm saying, like,
and nobody was, they didn't have enhanced photo back then.
I'm just saying the idea, though, that, like, this has been consistent, regardless of if you have, like, allyship present.
Yeah.
It's the system itself is like, there's no, because there's people, Simone Biles was talking about, you know, fuck all the actually, let me, what did she specifically say?
Simone don't say the F word.
No, she said something far more professional. she said, in reference to Castor, this is wrong on so many levels. Once again, men having control over women's bodies, I'm tired.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I cut you off. You're talking about, like, the history of the Olympics and the
committee and them, like, corroborating with these places. So in 68, and it says the IOC was no better in 1968. So this is after 36 when they're talking about Jesse Owens kind of, like, coming in to, like, stop the spread. Not that he stopped the spread of Nazism, but he put a halt to this idea of that, like, this of white supremacy, like, dominating everything. That there's still, like, this black man came and gave hope in some way. I don't know who he was giving. He gave hope to black people. I don't know about him giving hope to white people, but whatever. The IOC was no better in 1968. Ho-humming as Mexican authorities shot students protesting their government. No better in 1972 when awful Avery Brundage, the longtime ogre, it says ogre. This is definitely an opinion piece. Longtime ogre at the head of the IOC was muted in Munich as Israeli athletes were murdered. The Salt Lake City Games of 2002 revealed the unseemly tradition of IOC members taking bribes. For the Winter Games next year, the IOC is headed to Beijing, cozying up to another concentration camp regime. Honey. Then also, what they also forgot to, they didn't mention in here Rio, because what was happening, oh, I remember when they were preparing for the Olympics to be in Rio, and I think that was the first time the Olympics were going to be in South America. And everyone kept saying, oh, is Brazil ready for this? Are they ready? I don't think they're ready. And, like, look at this country and, like, oh, blah, 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 whatever, right? They displaced a lot of people who I think were living in favelas on the sides of the city. Mm-hmm. And so I would hope most of our listeners understand what favelas are. But if you, I hate to be like, watch City of God, but City of God is a good movie. But favelas are like these places or communities that from what I've heard, like, they are land that, like, people are technically squatting on, but they've built these entire systems like neighborhoods, right? Because these are also, of course, the people who are building Brazil, who need somewhere to live. And so they built their own neighborhoods. And so that's, you know, those are kind of like the romanticized photos of Brazil, those, like, all those houses on the mountainside, right, that we see of South America.
and a lot, or a lot of like country, actually not even just South America, a lot of countries throughout the globe have like this kind of land, this kind of land that's set apart for like everyone kind of living on top of each other. And some of the houses are makeshift, some of them are really nice. It just depends on the people's access. But they were displacing people from some of the favelas because they needed to build a stadium to house the Olympics, or they needed to make the Olympic Village, right, for the athletes to stay, right?
Yeah.
And so you get all this money that's coming in, but like, you know, the Olympic Committee is just kind of like, whatever. They seem to, their track record doesn't seem to be all that great. Like, they seem to, they seem to be only be guided by greed and money. And it makes me think about, like, when I'm going back to the question, like, what is the point of the Olympics? I think ultimately for capitalist countries, the Olympics provides more money opportunities, right? Like, you have these people who become the face of a nation, right? And then they get endorsements from like Nike and Adidas and cereal and toys and like all of the stuff we can make because this person won a gold medal. Even better, I mean, of course, I can't speak for other countries, but definitely for the US, this is definitely the marketing, right? Like, we're gonna put, you know, all of the, like, I feel like Simone has been on a box of cereal. I think she has.
She's been on everything. She got 25 gold medals.
I'm like, Simone been on a box of cereal. But she keeps a kind of low-key life. Like, I like that about her. Like, I don't really know a lot of what's happening with her. I know she's dating
she's
one of the...
investing in new gymnasts. Like, she has her own gym.
Really?
Yeah, she's like... She's like mentoring. I think the next person who's like popping up in gymnast, like the next sort of a black female gymnast, I think was not gonna keep going, and then Simone took me aside and like mentored me a little bit. Like, she's doing her thing in quiet.
She is. I was watching the news, and like, she was in training, so they were talking to her boyfriend, and her boyfriend he plays for the Houston Texans for the football team, but they just had on the name at the bottom Simone's boyfriend.
yes.
Mr. Simone Biles, which I love that, but he seems so sweet and like very supportive. He seemed like he was a very nice person, which I wouldn't imagine like Simone dating anyone really like douche, not like I was about to say Chanel sweatband boy. I'd name every designer besides what he had on his head. That boy will not get a Simone Biles acting like that.
Nope.
But I say all that to say, like, for the US, it definitely means more money pouring in, more consumerism. Who did not want a, like, when Usain Bolt was like was deemed the fastest man in the world, who didn't want a shirt that said Jamaica on it with the Jamaican soccer jerseys, right? Or football style jerseys, right? Who didn't want that? But where does that money go? Particularly for thinking about Jamaica, did the Jamaican economy see any of that money, or was it solely like the U.S. because Nike's based in the U.S. Yep. right? Like,
yep.
So I mean, ultimately, where does all this, it's a money grab. It's a mixed bag of things, right? We celebrate these people who worked really hard to get to this point in their careers. And I think that should be celebrated, but also like you said, the bureaucracy of the committee itself is very problematic and needs to be examined a little bit more closely. Like, who all is on that committee? It says it's like, I think, like, what did I say? Like, 95 people and 44, like, honorary? Like, who is honorary. Over there?
Yeah.
Who is over there? Like, what y'all doing? Because y'all coming up with some, I mean, I'm sure if I saw, it's just a picture of a bunch of old white men, but, like, y'all coming up with some real dumb kind of problems, right? Like,
This is the same issue we have with every, I keep using words like world stage or like any time there is this idea of a Western notion of what is the best thing that exists, period. Like you have the Oscars, the Grammys, the all the award associated platforms. It's always a bunch of like old white people, if not completely the majority, on the deciding sort of tribunals, the whatever adds on some big spooky island, probably watching or determining, you know, kind of old Coliseum style, thumbs up, thumbs down. And half the time, this is probably the Olympics is probably the closest thing to a quote unquote fair level playing field, because there's so much art that we in contexts like that where it's being decided what is the best that we don't get to see, because like people, I don't watch animated movies, those are for children. I don't watch film. If I wanted to read a book, I'd read a book. Like all these arbitrary, very limited, if not, you know, racist, xenophobic, ableist, all these things that like they shrink the scope of competition into a very limited idea of quality.
Yeah,
it's sad.
It is. And I also, when you were saying that, it made me think about like how there's traditional sports in other countries that are not that aren't really considered in the Olympics. I mean, don't ask me to name them, but I mean, shouldn't there be, you know, there was like a video floating around like ages ago of like these Indian men like pole dancing. And have you ever seen those videos? It's wow. It's a form of gymnastics, really. Because I guess the world's idea of pole dancing and it being tied to sex work, we won't see that on a global stage. Although, like in the U.S., Shakira and J-Lo, I think, was that last year or year before last when they performed at the Super Bowl? J-Lo brought out a stripper pole.
I think that was last year, but she just made Hustlers.
She did, and like, but she kind of like, she kept it kind of tame, and like she had assistance on getting it. I saw a TikTok related but unrelated of I follow this TikTok. She always says, "Hi, my name is Pablo." I can't think of. I think it's Pablo the Don. I think is her TikTok. But you know how people talk about industry plants, like people who are just like. And they were saying that J-Lo, like there's a good case for J-Lo being an industry plant because we know how she got her start. We know, right? She was a fly girl, right? She was a dancer. I think she did some acting, right? She was mostly just dancing and acting. But then comes Tommy Mottola and him and his campaign against Mariah Carey. And he just wanted, he was like, "I'm going to make someone else bet bigger than her." Like, basically, like, I can, because he had, you know, I don't know if you know much about their marriage. He had Mariah Carey, like, trapped in a mansion. She couldn't go nowhere. She was miserable. I know. And if you trace, also, you know, you might be too young, but I remember in the 2001 when Glitter came out, her movie, and there was like that whole like TRL in quotation marks breakdown. What was happening, like J-Lo was getting all this attention, but she knew from the industry that Tommy was out to get her. And that was part of why she was in the state that she was in. Which is wild, because that's also like 2001 is when J-Lo came out with her second album. And there aren't really any bops on that album, but then she did J to the LO remixes and linked up with Irv Gotti from Murder, Inc. And like, of course, it was a rap, right? Put Ashanti on that song, let me lip sync over it with Ja Rule, and we got a hit. Everybody still loves that song, right? I can't unhear Ashanti now that I know that it's Ashanti on that song. Can't unhear it. Can't unhear it. Honestly, for the Super Bowl, they could have just had Shakira. But the fact that they made Shakira and J-Lo share a stage, I'm like, what are y'all doing? Did y'all really think we didn't know who Shakira was? Like, because
Shakira's hips been not lying for like a decade.
Exactly. Exactly. She had her like English crossover, I think in 2000, 2001, when I was in middle school. This is all, Lord, I'm old. No, I'm not. I'm not old.
No, you're not. Jamie, no, I'm not.
But like, she had, you know, this is a complete digression, but like, people have talked about like, if anyone's an industry plant, like, she might be. She might be, because we know she doesn't sing any of her songs. She doesn't have time to sing any of them. We know this. You can hear Christina Milian on play. If you know what Christina Milian sounds like and you listen to that song, that's Christina's song. I'm like, okay, girl. I mean, she's credited. Everybody's always credited in the liner notes. That's the other thing.
They make their money.
Right. They make their money. You get the receipts. And like, J-Lo always has like, these are the people who sung on this song with me, right?
It's kind of like it's like a non-animated version of Gorillaz.
Now, Gorillaz, I actually like.
You know, but Gorillaz, anytime it's daylight.
Wait, what?
Every time you hear rap, it's like it's one or two of the members of De La Soul half the time.
I did know this. I had conveniently forgotten it. Thank you. Thank you for the reminder. Because I was like, I knew there was a reason I really liked Gorillaz.
The De La Soul been bumping.
It's just De La Soul.
It's just De La Soul with the white man who has some rhythm. That's about it.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's a good collaboration, but that's really what it is. I mean,
I'm not mad at it.
I'll take it.
But we should kind of maybe wrap it up. We're at like an hour 33. I mean, are you going to watch the Olympics this year? If they happen.
I mean, I've kind of been in this mode this year anyway, where I haven't watched a single one of the award shows. I mean,
they're not worth it, to be honest.
It's not. When I'm thinking about the things that I would watch during the Olympics, I really only watched the track and field events. And I would be watching the events she would have been in. And so I'm offended, and I probably won't. Like, this is...
I mean, I love watching track and field on an HD TV.
Yeah.
Honey, Xavier, run so fast. Oh, run my gosh. Run it. It looks so good. I used to, when I worked at Papacito's, it was during one of the Olympics, we would, like, be at the hostess stand, which is, like, by the bar with the TVs, and as soon as we'd be, like, people be trying to like sit at their table, like, okay, wait a minute. But they would also be watching it with us. They're like, who's about to run? We're like, I think this is such and such. And like, it just looks so good. Oh my gosh. When I was working at that place I won't name because whatever. when I think it was Gabby Douglas was first on the scene. Was it Gabby or was it Simone? It might have been Simone. I don't remember. Maybe it was Simone, because Simone, them looks every
three. She's
been at it for a minute. I think it was Simone, and Gabby was, I think, she's still 24. On the team. Yeah. Oh, she's a baby. If Ryan Lofty can be a boy, she can be a baby, but she's not a baby. Neither one of them are babies. But we would be in the office watching the Olympics. Like, we'd have like a small, you know, like you can watch it online, and so you'd have like a little window open while you're doing your work. And be typing and watching the Olympics.
Or like sometimes, like on a break, you just so happen to walk by someone's computer, like, oh, what you watching? They're like, she's about to do the balance beam. Like, so we all like get around, like go around there, like, and then the boss will come back, like, oh, what are you guys doing? We're like, oh, one time I think we just admitted to her we were watching the Olympics, like, mm-hmm. like, yeah, bitch, like, this is what we're like, it's still Olympics, so we have to be at work. I want to be at home watching this, but. I mean, the Olympic schedule is wild, though, because there's stuff going on every day, all night. Like, you tune in at, like, 3 in the morning, it's people race walking, which race walking is hilarious. Hilarious. Them hips be swinging. I'm like...
I bet Shakira would be real good at that.
She might be. She might be. Like, they'll have wrestling, you know, like, it's just all day.
Skateboarding's going to be in the Olympics this year.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. It's a hard sport. I think, isn't surfing sometimes in it?
In the Olympics?
It should be.
I don't think it is, Jamie.
I don't think it, you know what? It's probably not, because you'd have to be somewhere where there's a coast.
Yeah, it's.
Every time you'd have the summer ones. It'd have to be a exactly, coastal place. Yeah. And sometimes it's not.
I saw a commercial. That so the only reason I knew that it was in the Olympics this year is because I saw a commercial where Tony Hawk is at the front of it, and he's like, "We," I got what he said exactly, but it was to the effect of "Nigga, we made it," and it's like him at the front putting his board down and going, and then it'll be like a whole mob of skaters behind him, and then just riding off in the sunset.
Have you seen? There's like some article that says capitalism must go, but Tony Hawk can keep his stuff.
Yes, it's like, yeah, it's an explaining of like of communist theory and all this stuff, but Tony Hawk gets to keep his things because he's good at what he does.
I don't really know a lot about Tony Hawk other than the fact that he has like he's a household name, right?
He is such a good man. Every time I see jokes about I can't remember what movie it is, but it's this like frame from like a gangster movie. With Wesley Snipes in it, and it's him a pistol pointing at like the screen, and it says me when I have to shoot Tony Hawk during the race war, and Tony Hawk replied to it and he said, I appreciate he's just like a very he's I think he is that kind of that like, you know, average Joe guy. Mm-hmm. Who just happened to get into skateboarding at like the right time and just happened to, you know, he just went for it. He went all the way. Cause he only really just retired. He's doing all of his tricks that he was famous for, mm-hmm. that almost only he can. No one has done again. He's doing them for the last time.
Oh, really?
Because he's like, I'm getting old. I probably can't do some of these eventually. So I'm just going to start doing all my like famous tricks at home. Like one more time. He's a brand. He's a part of history.
Wow. Well, on that note, I think it's time for us to close. I will watch the Olympics.
You said you will?
I will.
I might watch it for Tony.
You'll watch it for Tony.
I'll watch skateboarding for Tony Hawk. He invited to the cookout, so I might have to watch that one for him. But I guess you're right. We should thank our Patreon patrons.
Yes, thank you to Jerome C, Caitlin D, and Chi Chi O for being supporters. We love you all. Your donations to the podcast are very much appreciated. And if you would like to be a patron, you can be one for only $5 a month. That's not a lot. You can be shouted out on the podcast, just like our other patrons. The tiers are $5, $10, and $20. And you can find all that information on our Instagram and as well as our Twitter.
We are on all social media platforms at Where I See Me. We'll definitely be having some good stuff cooking up as we, because this, again, this is our last episode of the season.
It sure is.
We'll be coming back most likely. I want to say most likely right now in October. I think might be the potential plan. We're but if you follow us, you'll know for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Keep up with us. We'll still post stuff every now and then.
Want to thank Playdate for our wonderful outro music. Why don't we talk about it? Playdate fans of all sci-fi and cool digs, friends of the show. You can find their music on iTunes and Spotify. There's some cool cats, I believe is the scientific term. So check out their music. And I believe that is it. I have been Marcellus.
And I'm Jamie.
Stay nerdy.
And stay black.
Sensational. Wow.